Welcome to a bonus episode. I was about to say this is the Ramble podcast, but it's not. This is just a bonus episode where Dom and I are going to break down another episode of Frank Stallone on a podcast that he was on. But we have a special guest host and guest with us today who would like to help break down this podcast visit. Robert. Robert, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Ron. How are you?
Good to meet you. Now, Robert, you reached out to us, but I guess we should just, you know, the title says who you are on this podcast episode, so we're just going to reveal who you are. Robert, you are indeed the son of Frank Stallone Jr.
I am indeed the son of the Frankster, yes.
You are somewhat of a unicorn. You understand this. Are you aware of your unicorn status?
Yes, I am. I'm almost the black sheep in the way of this Stallone family, so to say. Yeah, so I can't wait. This is going to be a fun episode, to say the least.
I do have some questions, and I'm going to get right to some of these questions. I think these are questions that hopefully the listeners would like me to ask, but here we go. First off, do you mind saying how old you are?
I turn 29 next month, actually.
Okay. 29. So Frank is 53, 54. What was his age? 44?
I was born in 95, and he was born in, I believe, 1950.
So he's 44, 45. Okay. Now, how did he meet your mom?
So my mother used to work in Los Angeles for Vidal Sassoon back in the 90s. And
Slow down. Sorry. Your mom worked for a hair company?
Yeah, my mother used to do she worked for Vidal Sassoon in the hair industry back in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
There used to be the House of Blues on Sunset Boulevard, which is no longer around, and that's where my mother and Frank met. To be quite blunt, they had a flame for one night, and that produced me.
Frank was performing?
No, he was not.
Okay.
I don't know if he was big enough back then to be performing at the House of Blues.
Well, he's not big enough now either. So it was a legit one-night stand.
Yeah, it was a one-night stand, but they kept in touch afterwards when Frank found out she was having me, and because I'm from Boston initially, so yeah, Frank would visit my parties, my birthday parties growing up every now and then. I believe around 1999, they got in a huge fight. My mother got remarried. That's why my last name is not Stallone. It was, sure. But now it's Hart. Things are going well now. My dad and I talk.
That's good.
Okay, so you said 99, they had a bit of a fight. So how much did you see him between 99 and when?
I saw him in person first time when I was a freshman in high school, which was 2009, quite a while, 10 years.
Okay. It's always tricky. Family relationships were tricky, whether you're a celebrity or little peons like me and Dom, you know, we all have our relationship with our parents are tricky. I have a fairly strong relationship with my parents. I think Dom, you know, what I see on his Facebook, he has a great relationship with his family, and I'm blessed that way. And I have kids, and I actually have my oldest son's actually 25. Having that adult relationship is just not only just as important, but it's also valuable too. So even if maybe those lost years, if you and Frank are kind of making up and talking again or something, that we congratulate you on that if you guys are good. But I did hear though, Robert, that he blocked you from socials. What can you share why he blocked you from socials?
I sure can. So I was laid off in Boston from my sales position in early 2020, and I moved out to LA in October of 2020 to be an actor, which he was very not pleased about, to say the least. And so we went out to lunch a few times, and
Can you express why he was not happy about your decision maybe to try acting out?
Yeah, he just says, oh, like, I'm a Stallone, I've done 81 movies, like, what makes you think you can be an actor? And I'm like, well, first of all, thanks for the encouragement, number one.
encouraging words.
Yeah, thanks, Dad. And number two, I mean, I just think that he's how do I put this nicely? He doesn't want anybody to succeed in the entertainment industry, in my judgment, because he quite never really made himself.
How dare you speak ill of that? He's had an incredible career.
I think the jealousy of his brother's success just never really.
I'll do some speculation so you don't get yourself in trouble with your dad. So Dom and I have speculated on our breakdown. We do a bi-weekly sort of breakdown on Frank's public Instagram posts. We only share and talk about what he shares.
I will say, he forgot to unblock me on Instagram, so I have no idea what he's posting nowadays. he blocked me on Twitter, he blocked me on Instagram, but he forgot to unblock me on those two. So
Okay.
Got blocked before us, Rob.
Yeah. That might be the only reason why I think he doesn't know about our podcast.
I think after this episode, we might all be blocked.
Right.
So speaking of his brother, Dom and I have speculated, and it's really not a mystery, that there seems to be a real, I don't say love, hate's the right word. I'm sure they love each other's brothers. I mean, but again, families are complicated. But you can sense or see from what I have witnessed in the public viewing that's been available to me, that there seems to be a real jealousy that Frank has with his brother Sly.
Yeah, I mean, there was a period, to my knowledge, in the 1990s when they didn't talk for 3 or 4 years. I think it was over something lawsuit related. I don't know what it is specifically, but
well, there's a failed film that they almost did together. Is that what was it regarding
that's
that?
That's what it was. It was with Dennis Hopper and all these other people. And
So, Dom, do you know about
that
film?
I actually didn't know about that.
If you go on IMDb, you can actually see it still exists. I forget the name of the film. It's actually like
filmed it and everything.
There was footage.
Yeah, it's like Andrew Dice Clay, Dennis Hopper, and my father.
Oh, I think. What a cast right there.
Yeah, right.
Andrew Dice Clay, Dennis Hopper, Frank, Sly.
But, yeah, but you know, my dad did something on set, and I'm just saying what I know. I think he got in trouble, and he had to owe a lot of money to the production studios. And Sly was beyond livid, and I think he excommunicated him for quite a while.
Oh, wow.
Years on end, and yeah, their relationship is so odd. It is weird.
And that, again, that's what the public sees. I see that. I don't know the family.
It's interesting too, because I haven't watched The Family Stallone in full because it's a little too, I don't want to say painful, but I've seen clips and it's like the Frank you see around Sly and his family is not the Frank that you see on a night out with him by himself. Because you see the show, he's a little like timid, insecure, you know, a little like, you know what I mean? But when he's not around them, he's a different person, as you can see in videos, you know? So
Yeah, for sure. Do you know your cousins?
I met them once in 2012. They were very young when I went to Sly's house. That's the first time I met him, actually. And I met them in 2019 at my father's concert. They were nice. I mean, they were with their boyfriends at the time, so they were kind of into themselves. But no, I have nothing say they, I mean, they were fine when I met them.
They look like they're, and that's what I'm gathering again from what I see on the shows and the social medias. They seem like well adjusted, fine individuals. They're just the daughters of a very famous man, but they don't seem to be anything other than that. They seem to be well adjusted, good people. I think that's a lot owed to the mother, Jennifer. People that I know who know Jennifer, people that I trust, say that she's the real deal, that she is really a sweetheart of a person.
Yeah, no, she was actually the only person that kind of made an effort to talk to me when I was at their table.
There you go. So it tracks what I've heard. Okay. Okay. So yeah, you tried out acting, and how's that going? Oh, got a little bit of frozen there. Just let it catch up.
Lag.
He'll come back. I'm sure he's left. He's left the show. He's done. If anyone's in our chat right now, if you have any questions, please, you can type in the chat. If you have any questions for Robert, that'd be good. Where do you go?
I'm gonna fill the dead space with.
Maybe Frank intercepted the interview.
Frank hacked in. These sons of bitches.
Oh, good, brother. Well,
my Wi-Fi just goes in and out.
There you go.
No worries.
I was still in the dead space, the dead silence.
I'm sorry. What was your question, Ryan, you asked before I cut off?
Well, I don't remember now. That's okay.
You asked the acting, right?
Oh, the acting.
Oh, That's right. Yeah. So yeah, where are you at with that, or what's going on?
Yeah, so I mean, I've studied in Boston 5 years prior. I did a few plays, Shakespeare and whatnot. I was honestly sick of my corporate job back in the East Coast, so I decided to not only move to LA to try this, but also reconnect with my father, you know, establish an in-person relationship. But yeah, the acting, I mean, I've done a few student films, independent films. I find it difficult to get my foot into the door to do much more profound projects and on the larger scale. So that's where I'm at now. It's not progressing as much as I hope it would. Yeah, time will tell.
It's tough. You know, let's just be frank here. It's tough. There's a lot of nepotism in Hollywood, and there's a lot of nepotism in the world in general. It's not just Hollywood, whether it's corporate jobs, it doesn't really matter. You know, family can help other family. And I understand that you haven't quite been receiving maybe that Stallone help that maybe other families in the industry have helped their kids out. Like, look at Kurt Russell and his son. Look at that great relationship they have there. And
I mean, yeah, you see all these. I know what you mean, which is why it's bamboozling to me sometimes. Because I talk to my father. I say, you know everybody in the industry. You know, could you at least maybe give me a chance to prove myself? He says, right. Oh, no, I can't get work. So you know, that's just
well, that's his own fault. Frank can't get work.
Yeah, we love Frank, and there could be a reason why. The funny thing about Frank and Sly is, like, Frank is a singer slash sort of songwriter slash singer and somewhat bit of an actor, and then Sly likes to pretend that he can sing.
Yes, well, the Paradise Alley theme song.
Oh yeah, yeah. Rhinestone.
Yeah. Rhinestone, yes.
The thing about my father is he's 74 and he has this unrealistic notion that he wants to be a star. That's why he posts all these, like, he wanted to be on Tulsa King, and he got mad at his brother because he didn't give him a part.
Is your father bitter about not getting Rhinestone? I'm asking the hard hitting questions.
Yeah, please. It's a great question.
If I had to make an assumption, I'd probably say yes.
It's odd that Frank would feel like, or anyone, I should say anyone should feel like, and I know you're not doing this, but to a certain degree, it's good to help your family. Absolutely. But let's pretend my podcast was a successful podcast and people actually listen to it. And I had a family member's like, hey, can you show me how to podcast? And maybe absolutely you'd help them out. But there is a point that no matter how big I might be, it's still up to my brother or my whatever, well, I only have brothers, but any family members I have, yeah, I can help them figure it out, get the foot in the door, maybe get a couple guests for them to come on. But at some point, they got to run on their own, right? And put it this way, we've always said this about your dad, is that Frank, all things being equal, if Sly was, you know, if Sly died at childbirth, right, and Frank was born without an older brother, we wouldn't be talking to you right now.
No.
You wouldn't exist. Like, Robert, you probably wouldn't exist right now, because the chance of your mother meeting Frank Stallone and having a tryst, the Robert that exists today would not exist probably.
No, and I've thought about that too. It's just, you've seen his interviews. He always goes on these tangents about how, you know, he should have been the Rock. He wanted to be the next Elvis and the Beatles. And it's like, Dad, if your brother never made Rocky, like, you would not be where you are now.
Well, that's the actual proof. I hate to say is because of his brother, we do have the Frank exposure. Like, he's been exposed. Yeah. We've seen what he has to offer, and the world doesn't care.
You would not know who Frank Stallone is if Sylvester never existed.
No. Instead of being jealous, we've said this before, and we're not saying this because you're here, but instead of being jealous, he should be thankful. He should actually just be thankful and have full of gratitude towards his brother.
I mean, he would not have had the staying alive and all this if it wasn't for him. I'm sorry to say, but I mean, he wouldn't.
Yeah. Well, no, because again, because he has the platform, and if it was enough, it'd be enough. But yeah. Oh, we do have a question here from Katie. Actually, she's my co-host on the Rocky podcast. She wants to know, have you met Sly's, I'm betting you haven't, but have you met Sergei Stallone, his surviving son from his first marriage?
No. Yeah,
I didn't think so. I don't think anyone has, quite frankly.
I met Sage when I was very, very young, but.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very young. You have met, I think you're friends with, I believe it's, let me get this right, your uncle, right? Dante.
I am close to Dante, yeah. Yeah, I am. Mm.
So yeah, for our listeners who probably don't know this, Dante Stallone is Frank and Sly's half-brother. I believe it's a half-brother to both of them. So it's your uncle, their half-brother. Frank Stallone Sr. had a child when he was in his 70s, close to 80s, I believe, and that's Dante. We've talked about Dante on our podcast. Frank had him on his Instagram once there. That's how we knew about him. What's Dante like? What's his story? If you don't mind sharing anything he'd be willing to share.
Yeah. I mean, Dante can certainly speak for himself if you ever have a chance to have him on, but he's a good kid. I believe he's 27. He lives in Florida. I met him in person once, cause I went to see, my grandfather, Frank Sr. in 2010, right before he passed away. Hmm. And, yeah, but Dante's a good kid. You know, he went to school in Florida. He's into boxing, ironically. Yeah, you know, he's a good kid. We Snapchat a lot, and he's on the right track, I think. So,
oh, good. Good for you. Yeah, well, yeah, we saw pictures of him on Instagram. It looks like he does the weights and stuff. And what's your weight regime like? Are you following your father's footsteps, doing just 3 hours a week, 4 hours a week?
All you got to do is one hour in there. It's like,
no, I'll be very candid. I'm very lazy about going to the weight room. I was with my dad a couple weeks ago when we were at dinner. He said, oh, like, you have no arms. I'm like, Dad. I'm like, Dad, to be honest, I don't really care, like, if I'm jacked. You know what I mean?
I like the dinner conversation of him insulting your arms.
He's like, oh, he's like, oh, your thighs aren't big enough in your pants.
Oh, jeez. speaking as a father, that's usually what I direct those kind of conversations to my kids. I often comment on their body and their arms.
Yeah, you know. As opposed to being intelligent and, you know, doing well at work, he wants to expect you to go to the gym 5 times a week and get.
So we have a couple of burning questions here. You don't have to answer if you don't want to. Well, number one, something Dom and I have speculated on regarding Frank is his hair. So Dom's wearing a toupee right now. So on a
this
scale,
is my of, hair, Ryan. This is my hair, Rob. This is real.
So on a scale of 1 to yeah. 10, how much of that hair on top of Frank's head is the hair that is growing genetically from his body without any help?
Oof. I mean, if you see pictures of Frank Stallone in his younger years, I mean, I have his hair. I'm receding a bit, the crown, so I don't think a lot of it's real. I'll be quite honest.
He has a better hairline than you, Rob.
He does. And if down you see here. Sly in the family, well, I mean, Sly has the best hairline for a 74, 77 yeah. year old I've ever seen.
77, yeah.
He has the it's hairline like, of a 13-year-old boy.
Right. For whatever reason, Sly and Frank have this amazing ability that I've seen on very few men where their hairline increases as they age. That's an amazing ability. I've never seen them
yeah,
before.
Yeah, I wish I had that.
I always say I'm waiting, Rob. I'm waiting for mine to kick in again. Eventually, I think it's going
to. Yeah, I'd like my crown to come back too. But
no. Same.
When you allow your body to age naturally, it just looks better. If you're receding hairline, you're receding hairline. If I mean, look at Dom. Look how handsome Dom is with that chrome dome there. I mean, would you want him any other way?
No, it's all good. I'm used to it.
I'm just.
Thank you. That's what I always say too.
What was that? I missed that, Robert.
Bald is beautiful.
Oh, bald is yeah, beautiful. My grandfather's bald is sad to him. Yeah.
Got to make the best of it.
If Frank is watching this, Frank, I'm 48 years old, and look at this hair, buddy. You like that? No red light treatment here, bye. He probably hates me now. But my arms aren't as big as Frank's, so I apologize true. For that. We should say, Robert, how did you find out about our podcast?
Yeah, I think I told you before on our first call. My buddies and
I know I'm doing this for the show. You got to. We got this is for the audience. I know how.
I told you how. Once before.
I told you already.
You don't listen. I'm just kidding. No, so, true. Yeah, my buddies and I back home, we always joke about Frank Stallone. So we go on YouTube and we like go recent search Frank Stallone. And my friend from back home, he found your podcast through YouTube and he says, oh, you got to check this out. It was just you guys. It was you both just ripping on Frank. And I was just like, this is the best thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. So you reached out to me on Instagram and this is where I come into the story. You reached out to me and I'm like, I thought it was a joke at first. I'm like, this can't be real. But then we talked on the phone and okay, well, at least he doesn't sound like a lunatic. He sounds like a reasonable person. It's funny. When you Google Frank Stallone's son, it does not come up. So what happened was, is we doing that one podcast episode that Frank was on the, what podcast was it on?
I think that was the guy that was talking a lot like this.
That's right. The Robert Ron Fletcher thing. Show. The Robert Fletcher, Fletcher show. There.
I thought the guy was on like cocaine watch.
Yeah. How many times do you go into the gym, Frank? Rob, how big are your arms? Show me your arms.
Yeah, right. That guy was hilarious. I love that guy. Oh, God. But Frank let it slip that he had a son. And then you could see that he caught himself a little bit. It's odd that he kind of caught himself a little bit about revealing that. So Dom and I were like, what? He's got a son? Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, you are real. And you actually know somebody that I've interviewed, Trisha Morrison.
I do, actually. Yeah. She invited me to do the Tommy Morrison documentary a few months back. I never knew Tommy Morrison, but... yeah, I just went and met some good people. And cool. Yeah, she's very nice, Trisha.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart of a lady. And she's invited me to go in that documentary too, actually, funny enough. So I'll be interviewed, I think, in May. I don't know what I have to offer.
We'll be co-stars in the same documentary.
I know. Nice. I think my footage is going to be deleted. I'm 90% sure mine will be deleted. I'll watch the documentary and I'm like, they Frank Stallone me. I'm not in the film. So I'll be curious to be a part of that. But so anyways, Trisha Vouchery is what I'm getting at. Because I wasn't like I didn't believe you, but it's just like, this guy reached out to me. Can it really be Frank's son?
Too good to be true, almost.
Yeah.
When I saw it, I was like, this can't be right. This can't be right.
Yeah, no, because I saw you guys in a picture of me on one of the most recent episodes. And I just thought, hey, I might as well just reach out and say hello. And
yeah, that was this picture here that it's right here with you and your dad there.
I was taking up Mohegan's son. That was Mohegan's son in Connecticut. He was doing a show. He gave me this t-shirt of him with his Miami DUI mugshot from the 1980s, and he wanted to hold it.
Is that what that is? Oh, I was wondering what that was.
Yeah. In case you were wondering, that's what that is.
Awesome. And not only that, so you've listened to our segments regarding Frank Sloan. So the second part of today's episode will actually be us breaking down Frank's appearance on the Mike Tuscia. Tuscia, how do you say his last name, Dom? Tuscia?
Mike Tuscia. Tuscia, right?
Tuscia.
He's Frank's celebrity.
Frank's trainer?
Yeah.
Okay. Alex, yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, I thought Alex was the celebrity trainer. So
what the hell?
This character, but we're going to get into Mike first.
Definitely a character. Mike is definitely a character.
All right. So Robert agreed. He goes, hey, yeah, I'll crack wise with you guys as we break down your father's appearance on this podcast. We're going to talk about this podcast. But before we do, we have to do the intro.
Here's another segment of Frank Stallone. Who is this guy?
Oh, I see, Robert, I see you laughing. How dare you laugh at your father dancing? What are you laughing at?
Just seeing him on stage doing that is so funny.
That beautiful hair, too. That beautiful real hair that he had there.
Fantastic. Okay, so as we know, Frank guest on this guy's Tuscia, Mike Tuscia. But before we get into his podcast appearance, I wanted to show you what Mike's mission statement was for his channel. This tells us and then also our viewers of our show will let everyone know why Mike has this podcast. This is the purpose of his podcast. We'll also see if what he has for a mission statement, did Frank fulfill that mission statement by his appearance on the show? So here we go. Here's Mike's own words, what his mission statement is.
Hi, this is Mike Tuscia. My show is called Live Well and Thrive. I decided to create this about a year ago, but I didn't really put it together to a few months ago.
Okay, so first, how would you like to... Sorry.
Mike is, he's almost like a Dick Tracy villain. He looks like, he's very ghoulish. He could probably kick the shit out of me, Mike, so I hope he's not that close to where I live, but...
Look at the veins in his arms. I mean, are those...
He's one big vein.
He's basically a penis with arms. That's what we're doing here again. Like it's just this. Look, it's one of these things where I got news for you, Mike. You're gonna die before me. Meaning, you know, like, and you're
gonna get it. Is that a threat?
No, it's not a threat. What I'm getting at is, we all die. I'm gonna die. Mike's gonna die. Frank, no offense, Robert, your father's gonna die. We're all gonna pass away from this mortal coil. And how we spend our time is how we spend our time. I'm all for everyone to do as they wish with their time. But we've said it before, Dom. These individuals who focus so much energy and time, and just basically having muscles,
right?
Their whole existence is to have muscles. It's such a weird concept to me. And then you have some of these older gentlemen who were, I guess they probably were playboys back in the 80s, 70s and 80s. They had the girls, they had the nice physiques, and they get now to their 70s and they just can't let it go. So they try to alter their image with plastic surgery, darken their hair, get skin scalps or whatever it is. They try to pretend they're not 70.
He looks all natural to me, Ryan.
Oh, please stop it.
I'm telling you, there's probably 10% natural about him. If
I think, yeah, he's like AI at this point, Mike. Okay. I thought he was wearing face prosthetics too, honestly.
It's so stretched, you know, the jawline. It's so like the skin is just stretched and puffed. And imagine dyeing your eyebrows. Imagine being so self-conscious about gray hair that you have to dye your eyebrows.
Looks like he landscaped his eyebrows too.
Bulging bicep, Mike has this to say. I also just want to show you the quality of this video. Look, my podcast sucks. I get it. I know, but I try to edit a little bit. If this is your mission statement, tell me if you can follow this sentence here. I'm going to go back just a bit and tell me if the edit's terrible where I don't know what he said. Just take a listen.
Really put it together to a few months ago. And the reason why is I'd be watching YouTube stuff with opinions. Not really.
Did you get that?
I have no idea what he's saying.
But this is what he puts out there for us to, like, I want to see what your channel's all about.
Smash cut.
Let's see if we can decipher that one more time.
As I'd be watching YouTube, stuff with opinions and not...
stuff was opinions. I think that's what he's saying. Something about
it's opinions. Like stuff is opinions.
Really factual. Do you know what? I wanted a show that covered everything. Inspires people.
Okay, so this is his podcast mantra. Inspires people. So again, he's going to have different guests on that are going to accomplish this. Okay, so let's see if Frank's video will do this. So you're going to watch Mike's podcast to be inspired. To do what? Inspired to do, like, it's just a, can you imagine that your life is such that you're watching this podcast to be inspired?
I'm going to be inspired, like, to dye my eyebrows.
Wait, Ryan, can you check how many views does he get per video on YouTube?
Well, yeah. this podcast intro video has 5 with my view.
I watched it 6 times.
Okay. Your father's episode 750. It's one of the top ones. I think him and another guy is he's got 300 subscribers right now, Mike. Your dad brought in the numbers for sure. The average video gets between 20 and 30
views. Your dad probably watched 700 of those views.
That's true. I would be surprised.
Educates them and helps them improve the quality of life. That's what Live Well and Thrive's about.
I refuse to believe this man is real. I don't think he's real. I don't think he's a real person.
He looks like he's from, like, Madame Tussauds with a watch. Yeah.
He escaped Midnight at the Museum, whatever. He escaped.
And I hate to say it, Mike, it's because you mess with your face. Just age naturally and stay out of the sun. There's my pro tip for you.
Sometimes I'll share my story of being a celebrity trainer and all the movie stars from...
Okay, so this part bugs me. So he calls himself a celebrity trainer, which is a kind of a trick on the words. Like, are you the celebrity that trains, or are you a trainer that trains celebrities? Mm-hmm. This is a tricky way of saying I'm a celebrity trainer. I hate it when people like Mike, I won't say him, but people like him, who, because they have a couple celebrity clientele, we're supposed to think that their wisdom or knowledge is somehow touched by God. Just because you've been graced by the presence of celebrities, the wisdom that you must share must be more valuable and more insightful than Tommy Bloggins, who's also a personal trainer. In fact, Doug from the Rocky Minute podcast, our good friend Doug, he's a personal trainer. I would take Doug's advice on how to be fit and how to be healthy and how to look way over any of the guys that, like Mike, for example. Doug, as of yet, Doug, don't do it, has yet to mangle his face. So,
but this Doug look like this man?
I actually looked him up. I think he trained like Pacino, Matt Damon. But aside
slow down, Robert. He's going to mention. Don't worry. He's going to tell you his credentials right now. Don't you worry.
Matt Damon, Al Pacino, Kim Cattrall, Nicole Kidman, Lionel Richie. I mean, I can go on and forever with that. But that doesn't define me.
I could go on forever saying all the celebrities I work with. It doesn't define who I am, but I still had to let you know my credentials. All the
I guess Frank Stallone didn't make the list.
I guess so. Frank's pissed.
No, he said he worked with celebrities.
Yeah,
all right. I want to be someone that's showing the pathway to living a better quality life, physically, mentally, and emotionally. That's why you need to watch my show. You're going to hear funny stories.
Nope.
You're going to hear life-changing ways.
Nope.
Improving the quality of your life.
Nope.
Very simply, inexpensively.
No, this is key. I love how he says this. Inexpensively. What? Hey, guess what, guys? My podcast is extremely inexpensive. You get to listen to it for free every week. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. But this guy's got things to sell. Don't kid yourself. It's all a product. At the end of the day, Mike has himself to sell and products to sell. Inexpensive what?
Very simply, inexpensively. I'm not going to be selling you any kind of silly products that are going to make false claims or outrageous claims. If I'm going to suggest any products, because I've used them myself, and I'll tell you exactly if I felt a difference.
that was a weird edit too. Basically he's saying, I've used it and I felt the difference.
What are the products that he's selling? I don't... Like workout plans or what?
I think to look like a lizard person. I think that's the... he's like, look at me. Don't you want to look like this?
I'm made of plastic.
Oh, my God.
Of course, I'm going to have my merch, my shirts and hats and some of the other fun stuff.
Why is merch fun? Why would you want a Mike Torsia shirt? Why is that fun to wear? Come on. His merch. Stop. Nobody wants your merch.
Helps support the show. I want to make a difference. and I will make a difference in your life. So please watch the show and don't forget, please subscribe.
We feel like support. He's looking into my soul, honestly. He's looking into my soul.
That was like a political campaign speech.
I know. He goes, please join me. We need your support. It sounds like, yeah, like we're saving the world one YouTube view at a time. Okay, I can't stand it when celebrities do this. This is partly why I use the picture that we use for Frank's intro. People see the video version. It's a younger version of Frank. It's kind of done on purpose. I hate it when like older people use younger pictures of themselves for their Facebook profile picture, or I'll try to change mine yearly. Like I feel like I'm lying to my grand public if I have a 5-year-old picture of myself up, right?
My default is me with long hair.
Yeah, that's right. So here's Mike's. Check out Mike's picture of himself for his podcast. You tell me if that's the same person that we just saw. You tell me. Here we go. That looks like a 45-year-old superhero.
Well, he is bald, right?
Van Damme, yeah.
Yeah, Jean-Claude Van Damme, right? Very photoshopped.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's just get to it. Here is, I love his setup for his interviews. I don't know quite the camera angles of this, but we have two cameras. One is on the guest, and one is on Mike, and then it's spliced together. So it's a really weird position of how they sort of look at each other. Like, I don't know how far apart they are in the studio, why they couldn't get a wide lens camera.
They might just be sitting next to each other.
I think they're like probably half a foot away from each other, but we have this weird split screen.
I've noticed in my dad's interviews, why does he touch his face for like,
we're definitely getting to that. We're definitely getting to that, Rob.
It's like uncomfortable to watch.
Okay, well, since you brought it up, for our listeners, I can't stress it enough, but I'm going to do this. I put together a supercut of Frank touching his face.
You want to know my theory? Your father had a mean booger that was in his nose. And he was just like, because he gets close. He's doing a lot of this. It was killing him. It was killing him. We've all been there. And he wanted that thing out of his nose. Well, I mean,
ever since he grew out that beard, he's always just kind of like.
Yeah, there's a bit of that. So here you go, folks. Now since you've talked about it, we're going to watch 1 minute of the 4.5-minute supercut of Frank Sloan touching everything above his neck. Here we go.
That, and I wanted Frank to share sort of all the different things you're doing right now, Frank. Go to the YMCA with Sly.
YMCA.
With the work.
Brother and I, and you know, it was in Leicester, you weren't. And like top, you know, kind of like what were in the old days. And so in our basement, in the 50s, he had teased because of his name, Sylvester. So in the lifting weights. So he's been lifting weights probably. I had my heart broken. I walk a lot of health or those.
Right. But also, Frank, subject I want to get on to is when you go to the gym now, most of these millennials will not let you work in.
No. Coming up, you know, you didn't heavy weights or something like that. Guy goes, take weights and barbell thing. So I feel really bad.
Equinox,
yeah.
That when two people go into the gym, and if they start training together.
Now, I just want our audio listeners to know, everything you heard, it almost sounds like what Frank sounds like when he's being not cut up. But everything you heard there was Frank with his hand on either his hair, his beard, or up his nose. I'm only a fifth of the way through this cut.
The floor supervisor will come over and go,
be like a 10 girls that are smoking quit because it's photobio, and it's very interesting, you know, but this is much more powerful than those. This, I mean, I was at 183 for supposed to get like that. I lost one.
And when you're on stage performing, you move around better.
You don't want to be. Remember, I'm in the archery shop and they had these two bows there that no one. And we're sitting in, holy Christ. They don't lift weights.
Was his dad supportive of you?
No, he wasn't that kind of guy. So I think that's more of my mother's temperament. I mean, I get mad like anyone else, but.
Oh, we're not even halfway through.
So much. So much nose rubbing.
Okay, so we're going to take a break for that. I put the supercut together of every time he touches his face, nose, ears, beard, eyes. It's insane. I have more footage of him touching his nose and his mouth than Mike does talking.
That is absurd.
There's more footage of Frank's hands on his face in this 50-minute interview than Mike speaks. I didn't bother cutting that together. Just take my word for it, folks. Okay. So let's go back to the beginning of the interview. Let's see here how this is introduced.
Hi, this is Mike Torsha, and welcome to Live Well and Thrive. My special guest today is Frank Stallone. Frank has a reality series with his...
See, look right there. Look how close they are. There you can go. See Mike's hand on the split screen coming up the other way. Yeah, that's going to happen throughout. There's so much footage of him touching his face, but this is the real time. I love
the purple ascot he's got going.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, he's been rocking the ascots lately. Yeah, we were wondering about that. Did you also notice that he has this lunch on his shirt? Did you catch that? He's got spilt food on his shirt. Check out his shirt. He's got like spilt mayonnaise or toothpaste.
Hi, this is Mike Torsha, and welcome to Live Well and Thrive. My special guest today is Frank Stallone. Frank has a reality series with his family, but he has much, much more than that.
So he's got a reality series with his family. He's got much more than that. Okay, we're going to talk about something. Okay.
And I wanted Frank to share sort of all the different things you're doing right now, Frank.
This was asked twice, by the way, throughout the interview. And Frank has nothing going on. At the end of the day, he has nothing going on other than his bourbon, which is true. But we'll talk about that. He does reveal how he got into that business. And that was a question Dom and I had. Like, how did he get going on this bourbon? Well, we'll get into that. Hear what Frank's answer is regarding what's going on in his life.
Well, you know, Mike, I try to keep busy. You know, the older you get, you want to have more hobbies and things. So
no, the older I get, I want to read a book and die. Like
I want to crawl into a hole and die.
Honestly. Aside from, you know, doing concerts and playing and doing films, you know, I have an extensive boxing collection. I'm one of the top boxing historians in the country. And
okay, I think we lost Robert. We'll just wait for him to come back again. That's fine. So did you catch any of that? The boxing historian?
He's one of the top boxing historians. Yes. Impressive.
How do you get that title? Is it self-proclaimed?
I think it's self-proclaimed. I think he just gave it to himself on this episode here.
Okay.
And so I do that. Little hobbies to keep my mind going, you know, and of course, working out, which has been part of the Stallone family since the like 50s.
There's the working out.
Wow. I remember you used to go to the YMCA with Sly.
YMCA.
With the work gloves and...
With construction gloves.
Also, a lot of nipple from Mike over here. A lot of nipple. A lot of nipple action. Well, I don't know what there's more of. Frank touching his nose or Mike's nipples.
I never noticed the nipples. Holy smokes.
I am Mike Torchia, and I'm your worst nightmare. I live in your dreams. I look like Freddy Krueger.
I never even noticed the
the nipples.
The nipples. That is hilarious. I was so focused on Frank's nose picking. You guys have any questions or any comments? You guys are watching us live. We appreciate you guys watching us. That's great that you're here.
Come on down.
Oh, there he is. He's back. He's back. Okay, there he
is.
Yes. I'm sorry, guys. My Wi-Fi.
You're good.
All good.
We're talking about Mike's nipples, actually.
You see Mike sticking out.
I said, I don't know what there's more of, your father touching his face or Mike's nipples.
Did I miss anything special in the last minute? That was-
No. One of the moments where Frank throws Sly under the bus.
Oh, here we go.
My brother was a skinny kid, and he had a bad temper, but he used to get teased because of his name, Sylvester. So
it was a good nose pick shot there. There we go. Frank does this all the time. Anytime he talks about Sly, he's always got to do this little bit of a, oh, he got teased because of his name, Sylvester, and you know, he was skinny and he had a bad temper.
He does it a couple times in here, I think, too, when they bring up when Sly got into acting, that Frank was into music first. Frank was very adamant that he was in the music first.
So Katie, my co-host, thank you, Katie. She's keeping us straight here. So Katie wants to know, Robert, because I think we had some technical difficulties, it got interrupted, but you were blocked by Frank, but we got sidetracked. Did we say why that happened? Why the block happened?
So we got in arguments because he didn't want me to be an actor, and he basically just blocked my Instagram. Well, no, he blocked my phone for 2.5 years, and he still hasn't unblocked my Instagram. So
I heard it was because he thought your arms weren't big enough.
he's mad that you're not doing hair treatments, I think. Okay. Okay, this is where Frank is talking about a girl at the gym. He gives her some advice on how to be a better athlete or a better fitness person.
Now, I told a girl, I got in a little trouble. I said, you know, if you trained as hard as you text, you'd be Miss Olympia, you know.
I want to know what a little trouble means. Like, did he get escorted out of the gym?
Didn't he say the last time he went up to some girl in the gym and said, You have a nice face, but if you lost some weight, something.
Gotta love Frank. Always hating on the women like working
he's
out.
He's terrorizing women in the gym.
That's what it sounds like.
Why make it your business? Let her text. Who cares? Let her be. And this is the thing about these older guys. You are dinosaurs, and it's okay. It is a different world. These are people that were born with iPhones in their hands. You have to deal with that, guys. This is a different world. The same way that we used to go to the gym when I was younger with just a CD player in our pocket. We didn't have phones, but now they do, and that's what they carry with them. That's how they socialize, and they film, and they share it. You don't have to like it, but that's what they do. I always like it that the older generation always assumes that the way they've done things is the way it should be. Things just change. You have to be okay with that. All right, there's a little bit more complaining about the gym coming up here.
Occupy the machine. You did your business and left. And if you were doing heavy weights or something like that, guy goes, hey, man, you mind if I work? Yeah, no problem. And that's how you make friends. It's supposed to be like a friendly atmosphere. You know, I go to Gold's now, like no one puts the weights away. You can't find any dumbbells. People take weights and barbells from one room to the next room. You can't find anything. So I feel really bad for the trainers. You know, you're sitting there, guys paying you $80 an hour. You can't find dumbbells to work at.
So that's how much Alex costs. We got the cost. $80 an hour to hire Alex.
Steep.
Now, did you catch that the trainer gets the weights? Is that their job?
I guess so. I never had a trainer, so I wouldn't.
So we just figured out there, Robert, that Alex costs $80 an hour for your dad.
That's not cheap, figuratively speaking. I mean, no.
And it sounds like it's the trainer's job to get the weights, and Alex has a hard time at Gold's Gym finding the weights because nobody puts them back where they
are. Where the fuck are the weights, Frank?
Your Alex is getting very good.
I feel like in that last interview with Alex, I can understand a word he was saying every time.
Yeah, no, nothing. Yes. I got he says he trains exceptionally hard when he's got a concert.
Go to the gym for an hour, 10 minutes. By the time you're home, people are getting up and you've gotten your workout out for the day.
Well, I know you train exceptionally hard when you have a concert.
Oh, so once every 10 years?
That's what I was getting at. So never.
They make it sound like he's on the road touring. Like he doesn't tour. He doesn't tour. His last big show was that Atlantic City show, I think.
I tried seeing him. I told you. I tried seeing him at the other Atlantic City show, but it got canceled.
And he talks more about his concerts coming up.
Do you guys have any speculation as to why he's not doing concerts? Because I have my own theory in a way.
Rough.
Well, because I knew a few people in L.A. that he got in fights with the owners of the clubs for whatever reason.
He's one of these people, can only speculate what I've seen. I have a theory that he's this type of personality where he's just never wrong. And it must be nice to never be wrong. It must be nice. I wish I could never be wrong. The way he thinks, the way things should be, the way things aren't the way they should be. He's got answers for everything. It's amazing that somebody who knows how to do everything has done not much.
Well, what he does too is he demands such high fees for his shows to the point where he thinks he's like a B-A-list like performer, and the people are just like, no, sorry. You know what I
mean? If he was smart, he would lean into his D-list celebrity. You should lean into it. Have fun with it. Almost be more like that character that the producers of the Family Stallone show are trying to make him out to be. If he was truly like that outside the show with the public, I think it'd be a different story for him, maybe.
Did you both see his performance when he was in Italy?
We did cover that on one of our episodes earlier. Yeah, where we showed the unedited version of him singing, because he shared his video of him performing on his Instagram, but he cut off the video before his voice started cracking and croaking. There is a unedited version of that. Well, it's on our podcast. We found a video of it. Somebody in the crowd filmed it. Yeah.
Really?
All right. My next clip here talks about what he had last year.
Yeah.
Because that's really demanding physically.
It is. And you know, I went through a bad bout of viral pneumonia, which almost took me down last year. It just came.
Let's just say I'm glad you're still here, Frank. We want you here. Absolutely. We love you. Do not want that viral pneumonia to take you. So did you know that your dad was sick when he went to the Mayo Clinic or the Mayo Clinic?
I was told he was sick, but that was during the period where he was blocking me, so I didn't have the chance to reach out.
How come you didn't well wish me, son? How come you didn't send me any flowers? I didn't know where you were. I didn't know.
Yeah. Came out of nowhere. And and I couldn't train for a while. I was on prednisone for 7 months. I mean, it really ruined me, you know, because it eats your muscle, it eats your strength.
So he talks about how during this time, too, he gained weight again. He got up to 211. He couldn't breathe. And he body shames himself for being a piece of crap because he was sick. And Mike agrees, like, yeah, you were terrible. You could hardly breathe.
You couldn't walk up the stairs.
That's right. Couldn't walk up the stairs. Right. Red light,
the red treatment. Light treatment. And it's good for hair treatment.
When you can't breathe, oh, boy, it scares you half to death.
You think? I love that revelation. Hey, guys, he's talking to people to stop smoking because if you can't breathe, it's very scary. I've read that somewhere, too. Suffocating really sucks. It's not fun. Okay, so here he goes. Talk about the red light treatment. Here we go.
Now, share with me about the red light treatment situation.
Oh, yeah. It's photobiomodulation. So it's like red light therapy, which is becoming pretty popular nowadays. And it really changes your molecular structure in your body.
Is Frank going through a process that's making him to a supervillain or something? It changes the molecular structure.
Do you know what it actually does? What it does is the red light energy goes into your blood cells and it changes the mitochondria in your blood cells. So it just becomes hyper upped or souped up to do the healing that it does in that area. That's all. I don't know if that's necessarily what he's saying, but it is a real thing. You can buy them. It's legit. Red light therapy can work. So Dom, if you or Robert, if you want to get some of your hair back, Frank will tell you how. Here you go.
Great.
Like this machine I use, it's a very expensive machine. It looks like a tanning.
A nice little humble drop there. It's a very expensive machine.
They're most expensive. Pieces of shit out there won't be able to afford it.
It's not that expensive. I looked online. You can buy them on Amazon. I mean, they're not like $10 or like hundreds of dollars, but they're not like I can afford one, and I'm not a big time celebrity, so you can afford them, folks.
But it's red lights. That's very powerful, and it really helps with hair growth.
That's my favorite line.
Helps with hair growth.
Who cares, Frank? You're bald. It's fine. Let it go. Then he leans into afterwards. He says, "You know, my shoulder helps with my shoulder." But then he goes on to say after that. Despite it helping with my shoulder, I'm still going to probably need surgery. It doesn't really work. This stuff is all, it's all voodoo, muju stuff. You're old too. You're 73. It's okay. Right. Your body's going to fall apart. Like it's just not going to work the same as
natural.
It's natural. It's just natural when you get older, i.e. when you're in your 70s, your bones will get arthritis stuff. Like it's going to happen that it happens to everyone. You can't.
But have you tried red light treatment?
You know what? I'm going to ask my chiropractor about red light
treatment. Tell him Frank Stallone recommends.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I've got something wrong for you. He basically gives some contradictory statements about weights. I always feel like Frank is at odds regarding his own weight program.
I said, I have friends of mine that are steer wrestlers and farmers. You know what's the heaviest thing they lift over the head? A bale of hay, who's like 48 pounds. When do you ever
lifting 48 pounds over your head? It's not really that easy to do it over and over again, too. But what he's basically saying here, well, he'll explain it.
We're going to lift 200. The heaviest thing you'll probably lift in your lifetime is a shoebox on a shelf. I mean, when are you ever going to lift 200 pounds over?
He's basically saying what I've been saying. In fact, Jerry Seinfeld has a great bit on this. You probably know, Dom, you're a big Seinfeld fan. You guys don't like Seinfeld. He had a great bit on this about people who go to the gym.
See, to me, you go in the health club, you see all these people and they're working out and they're training and they're getting in shape. But the strange thing is nobody's really getting in shape for anything. The only reason that you're getting in shape is that so you can get through the workout.
So Frank is actually making that point. You don't need to bench 400 pounds. You don't need to squat 600 pounds. The only people that need that kind of strength are the people that are doing those things in the gym. Outside the gym, we're not squatting our life away. We're not. So it's just funny how Frank, in a weird way, is sort of proving my point that, yes, eat healthy, proper diet. I agree with all that stuff. But you don't need 100 supplements. You just need a proper diet. You don't need to lift weights. Just go for walks. Do a free body exercise. No, free weight body exercises. Just like yoga, stretches. Again, I'm 48 years old. I'm pretty healthy. Why? Because I don't eat and drink and smoke and all those things. You just live a healthy life. You'll be fine.
Frank says something about a big stomach not being attractive in bodybuilders.
Yeah. Not only does he body shame fat people, he body shames bodybuilders. Here we go.
Thing, like when we were coming up, remember you do the exercise, vacuum your stomach. I pull in. The whole look was supposed to be like angular, small waist.
Yeah.
you know, kind of nice shape. Now there's this big extended stomachs, and it's not attractive. It's
the beauty standards of Frank reveal themselves again. So now he's shaming the those guys are big. They're beasts. Those freaking big freaking
Robert, you should really work on your stomach so that next time you see your father, really piss him off when he sees the big stomach.
He's coming with like 8-pack abs.
And now he's body shaming the bodybuilder. You can't win with Frank. Basically, you just have to look like him. If you don't look like him.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Mike Torsia, whatever his name is, he was a former bodybuilder, right?
Mike himself says he got up to 260 in body mass weight through muscles, and he wasn't healthy then. So they talk about that. That it was.
I just don't get what these guys are going for at their age. I mean, it's like, if you're 22 and trying to be an athlete, I guess. But you know, it's.
Do you want to be the most muscular corpse in the casket? Yeah,
right. You want to be so strong that you carry your own casket at your funeral.
It's so vain. It's just like
you're absolutely correct. That's what I was saying before about I don't know if I quite concluded that statement with like Mike, you're gonna die one day. That's what I mean. This whole focus on supplements, red light, bodybuilding, and he like Mike is 68, Frank is 74. It gets to the point where you're like, what's the point? What is the end game? Because you are still gonna die.
And do you guys think it's almost laughable at their age to be doing this?
Yes, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Stop.
That's
a wild question.
We're not going to answer that. Brian, come on now. Brian.
Kind of wild maybe, questions that we get in here.
Wait, what's the question? I'll answer it. What is it?
Have you ever seen your father in the buff? I guess is the question.
Have I ever seen my father naked?
Yes.
No, but he does post pictures that we used to back in like 2021 with him shirtless in the mirror. I'm not sure if we came across that.
Oh, I definitely seen those.
Yeah. No, I've never seen him naked. No.
If you were to ask Frank who has a bigger penis, him or Sly, what would he answer?
Oh, you know he would say him.
Oh, okay.
Which is that supportive of you and Sly lifting weights and
Not really. He wasn't, you know, he was kind of a guy like most fathers those days, just really not emotionally not available type person. Like he didn't like go like to if we played any sports or I did music. No, he wasn't that kind of guy. So I think that's why my brother got into it, you know, because he had somewhat of an inferiority complex. So
shots fired.
Shots fired again at Sly. Inferiority complex.
If you had a drinking game for every time he disparages.
I mean, most people thought he was going to end up in juvenile hall.
See, more like he's a delinquent, juvenile hall.
He was like, yeah, he was always getting in fights. He was always like, you know, he had a really bad temper like my father. My father could turn like, what? Whoa. I mean, you know, and me, I have more of my mother's temperament.
Robert, would you like to verify that? Would you say he has a good temperament or a bad temperament in your experience?
Well, he is a very moody individual, but it's more like a whiny moody. It's not like a fist fighting, like, you know what I mean? Yeah, more of that.
Okay. He does comment on his parents' weight. Did you catch that? It comes up right here.
Yes.
Yeah, he's so obsessed with weight. He now mentions what his dearly departed parents. They're dead and buried. Whether they were 500 pounds or 100 pounds, it doesn't matter. But let's comment on my departed parents' weight, shall we?
Feeble. She was like at a party in her late 90s. Right.
So he's talking about his mom, how she was just always good to go. She was right up to her death. She was active and all that stuff. And then he does mention their weight here.
But one thing, they were never heavy.
Just I don't know why they were never heavy.
They left thin corpses.
They're very easy to buy coffins for. Nothing crazy. They were just slender, dead people.
Jackie used to call me all the time because I was the only member of the
family.
Yeah, I was the only member of the family that would actually answer her phone calls. So she would call me when I was she would vent about her problems with her two sons and all this. And I'm like, grandma.
This is a big revelation. We get to find out what age Frank turned professional.
So now when you got into music, was that the same time Sly got into acting?
Oh, no.
Way before. Way fucking before.
Sly was nobody. I got into this before him. Look at this face.
How dare you? Way before. Way fucking before, Mike.
All right, so the question was Sly talented before you? Let's go back a bit.
So now when you got into music, was that the same time Sly got into acting?
Oh, no, no. I was way before him. I started singing at like six.
I started singing at six. Yeah, and I was also a pirate when I was six.
You're a goddamn
superhero. I became a superhero when I was five. I became
Batman. Oh, you were a superhero at five? Well, you have me beat, Tom. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Professional in 1965. I was 15, which was...
Is professional, does that fall into the category of just getting paid?
Yes.
Right.
He sang at whatever event or fruit stand or something. They gave him, you know, 15 cents for a song or something. He considers that professional. So every busker you see on the streets is a professional, according to Frank's logic.
Illegal, you know, be playing in bars or clubs or. He kind of got into his thing probably in college, like maybe 18, 19.
That's
what's funny. Like Sly literally got into acting at the same time because they're 3 years apart that he got into singing. So yes, he was younger when he started quote unquote singing, but they both got in the same time, their own respective careers, more or less. Okay. But speaking of arms, just so you know, Robert, he didn't just comment on your arms. He also comments on his brother's arms. Check it out.
For that time, he was in really good shape. Most guys didn't work out or lift weights. So he was actually in pretty good shape. You know, he had about 16 and a half inch arms for, you know, 1965. So
I love how he knows the exact measurements.
That's what I was just going to say. Why does he know his exact arm size?
I have three brothers. I don't know any of their measurements. I don't even know how old they are.
Oh. He was wearing about a large in underwear at that time. Large.
That's what I mean. Their relationship is so weird, man. It's so... Their sibling rivalry and everything is such an odd pairing, these two. They're like, I can't think of any other celebrity family that has more odd drama and weirdness between them than these two. I'm just trying to think of a family where it's just so oddly competitive and weird. And do you guys even like each other? Like, why do you even bother? It's odd. It's odd to me. He describes what Elvis was like back in the day. So he's talking about his Italian family. Yeah, experiencing the Beatles and music for the first time in America, it was like a foreign language for them, obviously, or a foreign thing for them to experience the Beatles and stuff.
But when I saw Elvis on TV in 1956, I mean, my relatives are all off the boat, and they've never seen anything like this on TV, gyrating, long-haired.
That's Italian. That means, like, he's crazy.
Okay, because of the gyrating hips. Thank you for your Italian. Do you speak any Italian, Robert?
I do not speak any Italian. No.
I don't speak it. I understand little broken up things, you know.
He does mention that he got his hit record when at the age of 33.
Have there been hard times? Oh, my God. I didn't have my first hit record until I was almost 33, and I started at 15.
Oh, interesting. He had his hit record the same time that Sly did Staying Alive. Isn't that weird? Right. But it had nothing to do with his brother. Had nothing to do with his brother.
Oh, of course. No way.
So he talks about these hard times. Frank, you've had more opportunities, way more than the average American. Way more. You've had incredible opportunities. A little comment here from George. Thanks for joining us, George. He's enjoying the podcast, guys. Rob seems like a cool, down-to-earth guy. Was Rob ever asked to be a part of Frankie's documentary, Frank, that is? So Stallone, Frank, that is the documentary. Were you asked to be a part of that documentary?
No, because he was blocking me during that time.
That was during the blocking phase. There was a phase where he was blocked. That was the great blackout of Frank Stallone.
No, I was not invited to do that.
Yeah, great question, George. And we'd like to give a shout-out, of course, to Derek Wayne Johnson, awesome guy who did that documentary. Yeah, Derek's a great guy. I will sing praises about Derek to the day I die. He's one of the good ones out there. He did Frank a big favor by doing that documentary. I'll say that much.
I was going to say, if you guys ever want me to get Frank himself on this podcast, I can probably arrange for that.
Well, we'll talk about that offline as well, how that might go down. I'll say this. Anyone listening at this point still in the podcast, I'll say this, that we would love to have Frank. Here's the thing. We have no ill will towards Frank. Just like any other human, he's complicated, funny, weird, I don't understand everything he says. We're all those things. Dom's those things. I'm those things. I'm sure people did a podcast episode about Ryan. They would find a lot of different things about me that are funny or weird. Make fun of me. That's fine. Honestly, if I had Frank on, this would be my hope and goal, is that we'd retire the Frank bits with his appearance.
No, and that's the thing, because I like
to know
Frank segment. Keep going. I don't want him.
Oh, well. At the very least, I would love to have him on if he's okay with the fact that we've had some fun with him, because I think a good, strong man, Frank, would be okay with all this, because celebrities have to know people take the mick out of them all the time. His brother, my goodness, the amount of ribbing his brother has received throughout his career, from Saturday Night Live to Mad TV to comics, late night TV, tabloids, like his brother has received whatever.
Did you guys hear about that recent event with Sly and
yeah, it's garbage. It's garbage.
Oh yes, we heard about
I don't know what to make. I don't know what to
make. No, I'll tell you, I'll be really quick about that. So yes, there was a comment, some background extras claim that Sly said that the guy was a tub of lard or something. Two things I'll say about this: I'm not condoning it, but I'm also not condemning it, meaning if Sly said that, then he did. But he did. It's not the worst thing you could say about somebody. Maybe he was irritated. Maybe he was in a bad mood. Maybe he was feeling frustrated about something. We don't know the whole story. There's also people that were there who said they saw nothing of the sort.
There's couple odds off the set. There's some pretty girls over here. Come on, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, if I were to guess, it's probably just dark sense of humor, just joking around, and someone took it the wrong way for whatever reason.
Exactly. I can see him saying, oh, you know, we got to get these fat guys out. We got to get some pretty girls up here instead, you know?
Look at this fat guy. He can't even walk. What is this?
This guy's got a fat back. You got to talk to my brother Frank about the fat back.
Did he talk about fat back in this one?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if he did.
No fat back.
I don't think he mentioned fat back in this one. I was thoroughly disappointed that he didn't talk about fat back. Oh,
my God. So you can see the food that he dropped or something on his shirt here really clearly. See that, Dom? The food,
yes,
or
I do. Now I see that.
Yeah.
It's too busy looking at the nipples.
It's like that, like, donut powder.
That's what I meant. Is that booger sugar on a shirt? Is that cocaine? Is
that... Talks about the hard rock gig and how the audience was terrible.
Talking. Funny stories. Some audiences, like, they just want to hear music. So you have to be able to read it. Like this gig in Hard Rock, I was really up for it. It was really a terrible audience. You know?
Wow. He goes on to say, like, you never reprimand the audience. And meanwhile, he's reprimanding the audience.
No, yeah. Isn't that a quote from Sinatra? Never reprimand your audience. I think he's
like, oh, is it? That. Oh, I think okay. It is.
Well, you mean Frank wouldn't come up with that on his own?
So I figured, okay, Frank, just shut up and just start playing whatever hits or they know.
Hits? Is that plural?
If you sing the same song more than once.
You have to win over the crowd. Like, I'm not a performer. I actually just saw a concert two nights ago. I saw Queens of the Stone Age with my son, and it was a wicked awesome show, incredible show. And there was an opening band, and I actually liked the opening band. I was curious how the crowd would take this opening band, because they're very different style of music than Queens of the Stone Age. They're more of like a glam metal band type sound to them, old school, not glam metal, but kind of like David Bowie mixed with Queen, mixed with hair metal, and they're fantastic. But this front man, dude, won over the crowd. The crowd was kind of quiet at the beginning, but by the second last song, he had the crowd singing, people clapping on their feet. He won the crowd over. So all I'm saying is, it's your job as the performer. And if you're good at it, you win the crowd over. They didn't say anything to the crowd. Just by the end of it, with their music, their talent, and their ability, that's what shows the crowd. The crowd say, hey, these guys are good, and they are good. They're called the Struts, by the way. I don't know if you've heard of these guys. Great band, by the way. I love them. But they won over the crowd. I was so proud of them because they had the crowd going. It was fantastic to see.
So you're saying Frank didn't win over the crowd?
No, I'm just saying, like, yes, you don't reprimand the crowd, but you also just show what you've got, and that will win over the crowd. That's your job on stage, is to win over the crowd.
And just do the best you can. And then, you know, and then people come up and go, hey, man, I really like the show. I said, but where were you, like, sitting on your hands? What were you doing? Yeah. You know, so.
Jeez, man.
I love it.
Anyways. All right. I
think so.
I think so. But Mike asked the question. This is twice now in the interview. He's asked, what do you have going on right now? It's twice that Frank went back to the reality show.
Right.
And that's fine. He should just say, I'm retired. I'm semi-retired. I just post things on Instagram for fun. I'm on the Family Stallone show, and every now and then I do a gig. There's no shame in that. Right. But the fact that he doesn't even address that he's not doing anything, he tries to pretend that things are going on, but they're not. It's okay to say, I'm 73. I'm done. I've been in 83 films. I'm just semi-retired. I'm just chilling.
He's done 81, not 83.
81. Get it right. No, get it right.
I swear he said 83 at one point. I could be wrong.
When they're talking about the Family Stallone, he refers to himself as like the Kramer of the show. Like that. Like that.
I'm in I think there's 10 shows. I think I'm in like 9.
So he's talking about there's 10 episodes of the season 2. And he's saying basically that his role got increased in season 1 because he's kind of a draw now. You're right. This is how he compares himself as the character that he is on the Family Stallone reality show.
And because I became I got 3 beautiful nieces. They grew up in privilege, but they're good kids. You got my brother.
Oh, man. Yeah, they are good kids. That's probably the most true thing he's actually said. I think the daughters are good kids from what I can tell.
You know, who he is. And then his wife. And then you have Uncle Frank, who's like never been married, 73. So I'm the Kramer of the show, like on Seinfeld. Or
so you say racist things from the stage?
Yes. I should have been hung up.
Have you seen that clip?
Oh, God. Richards. That's a whole podcast.
I think that's Frank's favorite comedy bit.
He was in the audience. He gave a standing ovation.
Okay. Did you catch what Frank said about his niece's friends?
Oh, yes.
It's coming up right now. Check out what he says about his nieces and their friends. This is fantastic.
So I'm the guy that comes in and kind of upsets the apple cart, but not being mean. They're like, Uncle Frank, I can't believe you said that. I said, well, believe it,
So he's saying here, like, I know I'm not politically correct. I'm a little bit crazy. I'm a little bit zany. I'm such a shock value. It's like, no, you're out of touch.
You're just rude, honestly. That's where it really comes
If you're right, Robert, because if you catch the girls in the show, they laugh. They're not laughing with them. They're actually embarrassed, and they're laughing kind of, I would say at him, but they're laughing like, I can't believe Frank's doing this kind of laughter. Like they're not laughing like, this is hilarious. We think he's funny, like Cosmo Kramer in the show. They're actually laughing because this is uncomfortable.
I saw the clip you guys posted about when he passes gas at the dinner table.
Oh, yes, I'm like, yes.
No, while people are eating, he does that at the dinner table. I'm just like, mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Okay, he goes now about the daughters and their friends here.
And they're afraid to have their girlfriends around me. I said, please. Yeah, I'm not gonna do anything, but I'm not blind. I mean,
What? The Frank segues are so fast. I didn't catch it on the first listen. I'm not blind. I can see that they're pretty. So he's basically saying I might be 73, but my brain's still 25.
I said, "Well, believe it," And they're afraid to have their girlfriends around me. I said, "Please." I'm not gonna do anything, but I'm not blind. I mean, you see what these girls at 28 look like. I said, that's when you wish you had a time machine.
Yeah.
Take about 40 years off me, okay? And or maybe 50.
I was actually sitting next to my wife when I was watching this, and she was doing something else. I heard it just go ill.
Basically, Frank's saying, my niece's friends are hot. I'm not blind, and I can see that. If I had a time machine, I would knock off 40 or 50 years of my age so I could bang them. That's going through his head. He's saying the only thing stopping me from, from creating another Robert is that I'm too old for them. Oh, man. Bless your mother's heart. I guess she's seen him in the buff. We could ask her.
She has seen him in the buff, yes.
Oh, man.
I grew up watching all the Rockies.
This was funny.
Isn't that funny?
He said the Pope grew up watching all the Rockies, and I did the math. The Pope's 87. When Rocky 1 came out, the Pope was 39 years old. Is that really growing up watching all the Rockies?
Oh, great math. Thank you, Tom, for that homework. That's awesome. So the Pope did not grow up watching the Rockies? Okay. He was already like 10 years older than the Rocky character.
Yeah, exactly.
Middle-aged man, yeah.
So So yeah, we don't need to go back and listen to that. So he's just talking about that moment. That funny enough, that scene was not shown in the Family Stone. The Catholic Church probably didn't allow it to be shown.
Oh, right. I remember you saying that.
Yeah, it's too bad. So yeah, it's too bad. They did visit the Pope, but it was not used in the show. I think this interview was done before the release of the show. So even Frank probably thought that it was going to be in the show, but it's not, unfortunately. I'm just trying to figure out the context of this comment, but he mentions pronouns.
Just like a family, you know. Being a family, you know, doing.
He's talking about his family, which is a normal family or a kooky family, whatever it is, normal family. He also mentions that his nieces aren't sluts. I don't know if you, did you catch that too?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think the show, I think it kind of captures, okay, my brother is probably one of the most famous people in the world, but it's also like a normal family. The girls aren't dressed like strippers and.
I kind of wish they were, but
the girls aren't dressed like strippers.
His obsession on bodies, images, what girls should and shouldn't be wearing. Okay, let's go to the pronoun talk here. So he's talking about the family again. He's sort of talking about the times that we live in now.
It's kind of like a breath of fresh air, you know, considering all the drama and, you know, pronouns, all this new stuff going on.
Genders, people having different genders.
It is what it is. If people want to call themselves an elephant or a kangaroo, I actually don't care. Right. Mm-hmm. I go about my day, but it's funny how this older generation again gets so wrapped up. If other people are weird, as far as you're concerned, let's just say they are weird in your view. Okay. Just move on with your day. But it's,
well, he's such a staunch Republican. He has to throw that in there. Every time, yeah. You know,
the things may be gone a little different some ways, but it is what it is. So we can't change yesterday. We can change the future, can't change the past. Past is the past. And I'm trying to kind of get with that. You know, I'm kind of nostalgic and stuff. But, you know, you just got to look ahead because that's all you got.
This is the point of the interview where I didn't know what, like, it started to just spiral and I didn't really know what he was talking about anymore after a while.
This last part, last 10 minutes of the interview is it's hard to clip too much.
As you get older, the days go faster and the years come faster. You know, when you're like 20, 18, you go, oh, Christ, I got maybe 70 years ahead of me. Yet my age, what do you got? Good, maybe 25.
25. Look at that. He thinks he's going to live to 100 years old, this guy.
That's 25 years to be in shape.
George wants to know, Robert, do you have a favorite film of your father's?
Favorite film of my father's? Wow. I mean, I like Rocky, if that counts.
Yeah, that counts.
Take it back.
I mean, I like Tombstone. He was in it for probably approximately 7 seconds, but I
how dare you? He stars in that film. He stars.
Yeah, right. Like it was Sam Elliott. Yeah,
exactly. He gets killed in the first 5 seconds of the film by Val Kilmer's character. But he does a great job. He's almost unrecognizable. Like in that side character role, it's almost a cameo. He does a fine job. No shade from me. I love that film. And I'll say Frank's performance does not take away from the quality of the film. So he's got nothing to be ashamed of in that part. So
did you guys ever see Barfly when he fights Mickey Rourke?
I have not. That's a film that I think Dom and I might have to review for.
Yeah, we might have to. We might have to watch that one.
He was actually all right, to give credit where it's due. He wasn't bad.
But. Sure. That's what I've heard. Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah. He wasn't bad. Yeah.
You know what's funny? This is for Frank and Sly and all actors. Look, the right script, the right story with the right director, you can get some fantastic performance. That's what I love about Quentin Tarantino, is he'll take people that are kind of washed up actors or people that maybe aren't that great, and he gives them roles of a lifetime, like Pam Grier and Robert Forster and all these guys. Like, they're kind of washed up actors.
Christoph Waltz and all these guys. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would love to see Frank Stallone in a Quentin Tarantino
movie. Dude, I would love it.
Meeting a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Dude, I would watch it in a heartbeat. I bet you, I guarantee you, Quentin can make Frank look good. Like, that's how good Quentin is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He can make me look good in a movie. I don't act.
And hopefully you can live in a, you know, a healthy way, like relationship wise, friends wise. I mean, all we have is what we carry on our back, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, as long as it's not fat, you'll be fine. So, Dom, you got your bourbon, right? You
showed the camera. I did. Look at this bad boy. Look at that. Yeah. Look at his face. There we go. I didn't think it was coming, but it's here. I have not cracked it open, Ryan. I've been saving it for the occasion.
I know you're saving it for our show. I ordered mine and paid for mine January of this year I have yet to receive the shipping order.
Well, as I was saying earlier, you see the American flag on there?
I know. I'm Canadian.
Wait, Dom, have you tried a sip yet? You're waiting for the...
No, I'm saving it for the occasion. I have. I've been tempted. But I
don't do it, man. You got to do the taste test on camera.
I've had it before, and it's...
How was it?
Should I spoil it, or should I wait for you guys to try?
Don't say anything. Don't say anything. We've already given too many nuggets of good stuff. We want to save it. Okay.
And he's got the Uncle Frank's meat rocket coming out.
Yes.
So people go, well, what's that mean, Uncle Frank's meat rocket? I said, well, that's up to your interpretation. To me.
Look at that. He's always got the sex jokes. He's always got the sex jokes.
Sexual innuendo. From what I've gathered from this interview, it's like a Slim Jim.
It's a Slim Jim without as many preservatives.
This is the first time you're hearing about this, Rob?
I have never heard of a Frank's meat rocket before in my entire life. No,
yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
I want one so bad. Dom, can we see if we can order some meat rockets too?
We're going to have to see. I mean, they should be coming, right? They should be coming out then.
He's talking. So Mike right now, he's the dude that got Frank onto the bottle. It was Mike that introduced Frank to the bourbon guys. So it wasn't even Frank. So Mike says, look, you want to make a couple bucks on the side? Put your face on this bourbon. I've got some guys who are doing some bourbon. They need a deal of celebrity. Everyone else was taken. Can you get your face on this bottle? And Frank goes, yeah, I'll do it. So now Frank is saying, he's kind of conceding the fact, which I give him a little bit of credit for without him really saying, he's saying, I'm not going to make millions off of being a celebrity, a singer or an actor. Okay. He's now putting his face on bourbon bottles, meat sticks. He also says he wants to put his face on geese and...
That's right. I forgot about that.
In his mind's eye, you could make billions.
But I think it's, I want to get into something where I can really stand behind it. I said, you know, this is what it is. It doesn't have nitrates. It doesn't have sodium. It doesn't have this. And I stand by it. Same thing with the bourbon. I said, Chris, I just have to taste it. And I had a few people over and I said, this is really good. You know, 12 is really good. And so we're going to launch that pretty soon.
Can't wait to get mine.
I'm really excited about it because you know what? Not that I can't sing and play it forever, but it's nice to have something else. You know,
Well, don't start now.
There's these big Hollywood stars like Bob Hope and Bing Crosby, that became extremely wealthy. It wasn't because of movies. It was business.
This is interesting. He's saying Bob Hope and all these other, like Paul Newman, they made money off of their products. Yeah, but the reason why, I'm trying to say this very hard without sounding like an ass. That's not my intent. But the reason why Bob Hope could make extra money by putting his name on a product, because he was Bob Hope. Bing Crosby was Bing Crosby. He was one of the crooners, one of the greats. Paul Newman, one of the greatest actors of all time. Paul Newman, are you kidding me? So, of course, they made money off their because they are Paul Newman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Newman's Own was after he was a movie star for decades. That wasn't
right. After he made a name for himself.
Yeah.
You know, Sunkissed with Bing Crosby, Polaroid cameras for Fred McMurray. So they used their celebrity to be a spokesman and became part of these companies, you know, and that's where they made their money. I mean, you know, in those days, that was big money for them. But it wasn't like the money that they had. So I figured myself, I said, well, you know, I like to talk. I'm pretty personable. I can sell this stuff.
Good luck. Well, I can tell you this much. I've bought it. I did buy the bottle. I can't wait to get it. That'd be nice.
I wasn't experienced enough or I would have made mistakes. I could have been my age now and been really famous and totally broke and no career.
Well, you are. He just talks about how what his life could have been like is what this is why it's kind of funny. I'm sorry, Frank.
Yeah, who knows what else can come out of Uncle Frank's and Uncle Frank's yoga.
Well, he's talking about how this Uncle Frank's opportunity and the meat stick came later in his career. Like, he can't believe this is happening even this late in his career. He's getting these opportunities. So you talk about how you can put this on other yo-yos and geese, the Uncle Frank
yo-yos. I don't know. I mean, you know, you can come up with the Uncle Frank's geese, right? Here we have like my face on a gee, which would make someone want to like choke me. But I think it's just a new thing. It's just like a new adventure. And who thought it would come at this point in my life? But maybe there's a reason for all these things happening later. maybe when I was younger, maybe I wasn't experienced enough, or I would have made mistakes. I could have been my age now and been really famous and totally broke and no career.
And we're back to where we began. Well, that's pretty much it for the interview. There's not much else to end there, Tom, but did you have
there was one just because we got that on camera. I think the talks about the time he got the press award. Didn't we did that in an episode. Didn't we talk about that? When the paparazzi gave him a press award.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. He just goes. He does talk about how to be nice to the paparazzi. Why not just be nice? You know, he says that it's easy to sign autographs. Why not just sign autographs?
Right, right.
Again, because you're not Sly. Could you imagine if Sly signed everyone's autograph that talked to him? Like Frank, no, this is not. I'm just saying, Frank can walk down the street a lot easier than Sly can. And so when people do recognize Frank and ask for an autograph, of course he's going to be happy to do it. Sly wouldn't be able to move. Think about Sly walking down L.A. He wouldn't be able to move. People would be all over him. He can't go through Philly, for example, without having some sort of security team. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm. Great fan.
And actually, that's by Frank's own admission. When they went to Italy, the same thing happened. Frank said that they couldn't really explore Italy as a family. Right. Sly couldn't go out. He couldn't. It was too much. They even showed on the reality show that he actually couldn't go out because his celebrity is so huge that it was like Beatlemania for Sly being in Italy.
And, you know, we talked to people. You know, I didn't even know when we were coming out of Craig's that night. They gave me an award, like one of the nicest guys to the press. Because most people hate the paparazzi in press. I mean, some of them can be irritating. But I think it's, you know, listen, if you're famous in your spotlight, why not try to be nice to people?
If you're famous, you gotta be nice.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm always nice to our fans when we're out in the street and they're mobbing us.
Yeah, that's just it. Like, it's not about being mean or not. It's probably just irritating. I'm sorry. Like, I'd probably be irritated if I was famous. Can I just walk to my car without cameras and microphones in my face? I know that's the price of celebrity and fame. You got to navigate around that. But again, it's a little bit easier to talk this way when you don't necessarily have the crowds around you.
Bad day. Field goal, and he misses it. You don't think they want to just...
He says at the end here, just talking about how even the greats miss their shots, make mistakes. That's his. He goes on for about 5 minutes about that.
Best I got. And then try to best it. You know,
thanks, Frank. Well, Frank, listen, I want to thank you for today, man.
My pleasure, man.
And I would have to come back when you have the bourbon out there and whatever meat rockets you're selling.
Meat rockets. Yeah, that'll be controversial. That'll be
so funny. Unsettling.
I definitely wouldn't go.
So on such an unsettling name.
Sounds so inappropriate. Meat rockets.
It's done on purpose. They do it on purpose, of course.
On The View selling the meat rocket. Kill me. But the Roseanne has a new show. So that one.
Oh, he talks at the very end there. He just says he couldn't go on The View to sell his meat rockets. I love how Mike invites him back to the show. He's like, no, I want to go on The View. But they won't have me, so I'll go on Roseanne's show because she's crazy and she'll take me on.
You're selling the meat rocket. Kill me. But the Roseanne has a new show, so that one I could do.
Yeah.
I like, you know, Roseanne. I like Roseanne. And so, well, Mike, thank you for having
me. That's so mean. Like, he's talking about, I could go on a bigger podcast, Mike. Mike's like, yeah, I invited you back on mine, but thank you for sharing the other podcast that you could go on instead.
Me on the show. When it launches, I'm sure it's going to do very well. And I'm happy that you asked me to be on it. And we'll take it from there, buddy.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
They're literally sitting right
next to you. Thank you for watching. Remember, subscribe and keep following our show. Thank you.
Remember, I'm going to be in your nightmares tonight.
Oh, big episode today, guys. Big episode. I appreciate everyone that came on and watched us live. That was awesome. Robert, I hope you had an okay time with us and talking about your dad, your journey. Family life is complicated. Celebrity is complicated. Humans are complicated. We have a little bit of fun. We're taking the mic out of Frank a little bit here and out of Mike. It's all good fun. We wish them all the best. We wish Mike millions of views. We wish Frank millions of sales and bourbon. We want him to do well. That's the thing, is we do not want failure. We want Frank flying off the shelves. We want his meat rockets in people's mouths. We want them.
I want Frank's meat rocket in my mouth.
No, listen, this was so much fun, guys. Thanks for having me on. And
thanks everyone who did join us. We do appreciate it. And Robert, obviously, thank you so much for your time and for sharing your stories and insights to your life. And we, of course, wish you and your dad the best, happy, healthy relationship in the years to come. It's all about family and love. And Frank is a good, I think in that heart of his, he's a good guy in there somewhere. We do get a kick out of him. And
that concludes another episode of Frank Stallone, Who Is This Guy?